month, it was a kindergarten religion teacher who was teaching the children about Easter. And she asked the children, "Tell me, what is the most important thing about Easter? What does it mean?" A little girl raised her hand and said, "I know the most important thing about Easter is Easter egg hunts." And the teacher was a little discouraged and said, "Does anybody else have a guess? What is the most important part of Easter?" Another little girl raised her hand and said, "I know, Easter candy." Now the teacher was really getting disturbed and thought to herself, "Please, Lord, I hope somebody knows the right answer." So she asked one more time. And now a little boy raised his hand and said, "I know what Easter is all about. Jesus came out of the tomb after 3 days." Oh, now the teacher was very happy. She now realizes she was a great teacher after all. And then she asked the little boy, "And then what happened next?" And the boy said, "He saw his shadow and he went back in." So luckily, Jesus did not go back in. And that's what Easter is all about, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Our Lord and Savior rose from the dead. And he rose once. And it was his greatest miracle. Jesus had worked many miracles. He had changed water into wine. He had cured lepers and had done so many miracles. But his crowning miracle, his greatest miracle, was his own resurrection from the dead. And the Lord had predicted it. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He wasn't talking about the temple of Jerusalem. He was talking about the temple of his body. He said, just as Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will spend 3 days in the earth. And the Lord rose again. So it was his greatest miracle. Now, when we look at the resurrection of Christ from the dead, we know that it is the most important teaching of our Catholic faith. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And St. Paul says, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then we are still in our sins and our faith is in vain. Without the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, there is no meaning in Christianity. The reason why we are Christians is because our Lord and Savior took upon himself the sins of the world, and dying, he destroyed our death, and rising, he restored our life. And that is at the very heart of Christianity, that our Lord and Savior died on the cross for each one of us, and that he rose from the dead. And because Christ rose from the dead, you and I have the opportunity to rise from the dead as well. If we have died with Christ, Scripture says, we will also rise with him. So that's what Easter is all about, the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And we know historically, when we look at it with Christian apologetics, that the tomb was empty. That is a historical fact. And there's only two options on how the tomb became empty. Either Jesus rose from the dead, or somebody stole his body. Those are the two explanations. Now, if you follow it down the path and say, well, if he didn't rise from the dead, well, then who stole the body? There are two options. Either his enemies stole his body, or his friends stole his body. Well, if the enemies of Jesus took his body, as soon as the Christian said he's risen from the dead, they would have produced the body and says, he's not risen from the dead. Here is his corpse right here. We have it. They would have carried it through the streets of Jerusalem, and that would have ended Christianity immediately. But that's not what happened. So obviously, the enemies did not take the body of Christ. Otherwise, they would produce it, whether it be the scribes or the Pharisees or the Romans. Well, the other option, the other alternative is that the friends took the body of Jesus and then claimed that he rose from the dead. Look at this logically. How likely is that? The apostles were so scared that none of them were even at the foot of the cross. Only John. All the others were hiding. And then we know that they were hiding in the upper room for fear. They had a hard time expecting the resurrection, even believing in it. Jesus had to appear to them many times to convince them that he is risen from the dead. How likely is it that they would have gone to the tomb, which was guarded by between 6 and 12 Roman soldiers? The tomb had a Roman seal on the tomb. Once the stone was rolled in front of the tomb, Pontius Pilate, they put the Roman seal on it, which meant if anybody disturbed that seal, they would get the death penalty. Would the apostles have gone there, been able to break into the tomb? And of course, stealing is a sin. These were good Orthodox Jews. They believed in God. They would not have stolen a body and then committed another sin by lying, claiming that he's risen from the dead. What would they have gotten from that? Well, we know what they got from that. They got imprisoned, they got tortured, and all the apostles died as martyrs in belief of the resurrection, except John died of advanced age. But the others all died either through crucifixion, through being beheaded, being thrown to wild animals, and they all died for their belief in the resurrection. And that's the only way to explain how they were transformed from scared fishermen hiding in the upper room to courageous apostles that were willing to die for their belief in the resurrection. It's the only thing that explains the transformation of the apostles. It's hard enough to die for the truth. How much more difficult would it be to die for a lie? They all died believing that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. They all were tortured. They all were put to horrible deaths. But they went to death willingly in belief of the resurrection. Why? Because they saw Jesus after he had been raised from the dead. He appeared to them many times, even ate with them. He allowed Thomas to put his finger into the Lord's side. He appeared, it says, to 500 disciples after he rose from the dead. Of course, he appeared to his blessed mother, to Saint Mary Magdalene, and many times to the apostles. He even tried to convince them that he was not a ghost, that he was real, and said, "Give me something to eat." And he ate a piece of baked fish. And so the Lord convinced them that he was risen from the dead. And this transformed them from being scared apostles into valiant missionaries that would go all over the world. And so this is the greatest, some of the greatest reasons why we believe in the resurrection, the transformation of the apostles. And then look at the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Saul was a bitter persecutor of the Christians, and yet when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, Saul was converted and became a great apostle and a great saint because he had seen the risen Lord. And then, of course, when we think, well, how do we apply this to our lives? How do we apply the resurrection of Jesus to our life? Well, many of you have lost loved ones, a spouse, a parent, a grandparent, or a child. But there should be comfort in that because we know that the Lord Jesus conquered sin and death by dying on the cross and by rising from the dead. And if we have died with Christ, we shall also live with Christ. It's one of the greatest beliefs of our Christian faith that death is not the end, that death is the beginning of new life with Almighty God. So this feast day of Easter gives each one of us great comfort and great hope. And when we receive the sacraments, we receive the grace of Easter. When we're baptized, when we go to confession, have our sins forgiven, when we receive the Holy Eucharist in just a few moments, we receive the resurrected, glorified body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is how the fruits of the resurrection are applied to us at our baptism, at the sacraments of confession, at the Holy Eucharist, because the Holy Eucharist is Jesus himself, the same Jesus who rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, we are about to receive in a few moments in Holy Communion.